Good morning, everybody. Oh, that wasn't much good. Good morning, everybody. That's right. It's such a pleasure to come here today. I have to tell you that because people are so... I don't think I need that, actually.
There's not enough room
on this thing for this microphone gadget and that Bible. So the Bible can go out of the book. Joking. It's such a pleasure to be here and everybody's so friendly. Sometimes when you go to churches, you get a feeling about it. And we have a lovely feeling being with you. And of course, I keep meeting people who either know me or know about me, either from Janelli or the other churches where I did locums years ago. So it's very nice to be here, both for Heather and myself. Now, let's get into this little passage, which I can't see because I put the Bible down, but that doesn't matter. I feel like Donald Trump. Sometimes people find themselves in situations where they say they feel they are in the presence of evil. Have you ever felt like that? It may relate to the occult or pagan religions. It may be when they see people given over to wickedness and debauchery. Or when people are full of hatred and malice. Now the question is this a matter of imagination or is it real? The Bible is in no doubt that it is real and attributes this to Satan, a being of absolute evil in manic opposition to God. In fact, when you read through the Gospels and stories such as the one we've just heard, you are confronted with the picture of a parallel world and a battle between good and evil. In the stories about Jesus, you have bad people trying to kill him. But in other places, you also have glimpses of another, mostly unseen, battle. For example, you see it in the story of the men in the tombs, which we're going to look at today, and all those other people described in the Gospels as demon-possessed. In fact, they are visible signs of this greater and unseen struggle between the forces of light and the forces of darkness, of good and evil. You see it in the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, don't you? Think about that. You see it when Jesus sent out 72 of his followers to preach and to do the things he did. When they returned from their mission, they said, quote, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." And Jesus replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." When Judas Iscariot turned against Jesus, it says that, quote, "Satan entered into him." When Jesus was in confrontation with the Jewish leaders, he said to them, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you must carry out your father's desires. Years later, when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, and I quote, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the whole armour of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces, even the heavenly places." Now, what we have in the passage before us today is a dramatic example of this mostly unseen battle between these two sides. We may not know much about these things, and to be honest, we don't. But we do know that these dark forces are real, and we need God's help to resist them. So, with this as background, I want us now to come to look at this very strange event of the men among the tombs. Last week, we saw how Jesus challenged people to follow him on his missionary journeys. And those who did on that occasion were caught in a storm. And their faith was tested beyond anything they had imagined. Jesus stilled the storm, and they were left to wonder, what kind of man can do such a thing? Remember that? Now it is morning, and we're on the other side of the lake. And there was a great herd of pigs on the side of the hill. That there were pigs there indicates that this was Gentile or pagan country. You've realized that, haven't you? That Jews don't have pigs. Now, Heather and I have been to this part of the world, to Gadara. It overlooks the lake from the east side, the Jordanian side of the Sea of Galilee. And I can remember as we were there looking down onto the lake from that side, from Gadara, it's easy to visualize the pigs running headlong down the slope into the water. It's very interesting when you see these places and it all comes alive. Now, the key element of this story is about the two demon-possessed men who lived in the open among the tombs. Verse 28, they were so violent that no one could pass that way. Now, of course, you might be aware that this incident is recorded in Mark and Luke as well. And there, versions of this story are much longer than Matthew's. But in their version, they only mention one of the men. Remember, his name was Legion. And this was because in their version, he becomes the focus of the story. Also, in their versions, there is a lot more detail. For example, Mark tells us how people would try and bind these men with chains, which then they would break. Mark 5, verse 5 says, night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, they would cry out and cut themselves with stones. Mark tells us that there were 2,000 pigs in the herd. And most importantly, Mark tells us what happened to the one called Legion after the demons were expelled and went into the pigs. Mark further explores the idea that we looked at last week about what it meant to follow Jesus. Remember that last week? In Matthew 8, you might remember that it was about leaving everything and going with Jesus on his mission. But in the case of Legion, one of the two men in our story, it was the very opposite. Mark 5:18, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, and he said, go home, tell your family how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And it goes on to say, the man went away and he began to tell in the Decapolis, literally the region of the 10 cities, how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Now, folks, you have to think about this. One man was not allowed to stay with his family until his father had died. Remember? The other was not allowed to go with Jesus, but was told to go back to his family. What does that mean? Mark tells us that when the inhabitants of that region heard what had happened to the pigs, they pleaded with Jesus to go away. Does that mean that his mission over there on the other side of the lake was a failure? Again, that's something you have to think about. Just as following Jesus can take many forms, come with me, go home, etc., etc., so measuring success of Christian service can take many forms. For the record, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, it says that Jesus, sometime after this story before us today, returned to the region of the Decapolis, which is where Legion went telling people about Jesus, and the reaction this time was very different. The people, verse 37 of that chapter says, were overwhelmed with amazement. They said that he does everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. It is very tempting to think that this very different reaction had something to do with the message of the demon-possessed man in telling people there what the Lord had done for him. Sometimes success takes time, and sometimes it is left for others to reap. Well, anyway, back to Matthew's version of this event. His emphasis is on the miracle of freeing the two men from demon possession, which resulted in the demons going into the herd of pigs, into the water, to be drowned. Now, what are we to make of this event? We have two men here whose lives are a total wreck. We might have described them as paranoid schizophrenic. What do we know? They were violent, incredibly strong, uncontrollable, cut off from all normal social contacts, and demented. In this case, they were totally under control of the devil. Now, when they met Jesus, the evil forces took over. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" Did you notice something about that? No, because I've thought about it and you haven't. I understand that. I'm not saying you're dumb or anything. I've sat there for hours thinking about it, okay? No tricks. You see, unlike the disciples in the boat the night before, who asked, "Who is this man?" they knew who he really was. Son of God, right? This is another glimpse of this unseen battle. They knew that he was more powerful than them. "Have you come to torture us before the time?" They knew that one day their time would be up. And they, like us, would have to give an account. You see, everybody's going to get judged, even the demons and the devil. And they knew that they were doomed. What did you come to do with us? In their desperation, they tried to bargain with Jesus. You notice that? "If you drive us away, send us into the pigs." So who do you think is on top in this situation? Obviously, it is Jesus. In their manic desperation, they try the least best option: possession of pigs. Jesus says, "Okay." So, verse 32, they came out, they went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. So going into the pigs didn't do the demons any good. Learn this lesson. no one can bargain with God. No one can do a deal to escape the just deserts of their actions. Not those from the dark side, and not any of us. What happened to the pigs is a demonstration of that. The will and the judgment of God always prevails. Now look at the reaction of the herdsmen, verse 33. Those tending the pigs, remember these are pagans, not Jews, ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. When the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. They were terrified, weren't they? So when the disciples saw Jesus still the storm, they asked what kind of man this was, that even the wind and the waves obey him. But when Jesus permitted the demons to enter the pigs, the people begged him to leave their country. They were afraid and they didn't want to have anything to do with him. Now, what have we got here? You see this all through the gospel story. Some say he is a prophet. Others say he casts out demons by the prince of demons. Some chase after him so that he has to get into a boat to escape the press of the people. Others begging to go and leave them alone. Now, you find the same thing yourself. Some people respond to your witness, others do not. Why is this so? It has to do with God's inner call. You think of the parable of the sower and how many different kinds of responses are portrayed in that parable. If it was true for Jesus, don't think it will be any easier for us. And so, what is the heart of this story about the men from the tombs? It is a demonstration of the power and the compassion of the kingdom of God. You've already twigged, I see, from your weekly news thing, that the basic theme of Matthew's gospel is the kingdom of God, right? And the characteristics of the kingdom of God are power and compassion. These men did nothing to deserve their freedom. Neither do we. Yet God had mercy on them, and he has mercy on us. These men could never have secured their freedom from Satan's power on their own, and neither can we. When God's presence in the form of Jesus came near to them, no power could get in his way. and they were set free. When God's presence comes near to us in the form of gospel witness, if you respond to that call, nothing will prevent you from being set free from Satan's hold, so that you can enter into the liberation that is in Jesus. That's the whole point of the gospel. We may not know why this power is unleashed on some and not others. Just as we don't know why Jesus did not heal every sick person in Galilee. Have you ever thought about that? But what we do know, to quote the words of Jesus himself, is this: my sheep hear my voice and come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will not cast out. That is a promise you can bank on. And if it is true that there is someone here who hasn't yet put their life into his hands, you can do it today if you want to. And if you do, I promise you that you will be freed from your sins, just as those men were freed from their bondage, because it is the same power and the same compassion that will be at work in you that was at work in them. So, if there is someone sitting here who knows that they haven't yet come to Jesus, why not do it today? And like those men, start life again. Only this time, Jesus with you. Thank you.